Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We need to pray for our wives. Pray for them, that God will bless them, that God will build them up, that God will strengthen them, encourage them, and take those insecurities and fears and things that they have, and that He will overcome those by that work of His Spirit. And we need to build them up through the Word as well. We need to build them up through the Word.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Genesis. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, in a message titled, Loving Our Wives as Ourselves. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
People are entrenched in bitterness and in hatred, and it's horrible. But it should not be the case in the church. It should not be the case with God's people, because we have God. We have the Lord. We have the one who promised to give us a new heart if we will but seek Him. But I think that so often that's the problem. I don't want to seek Him, because I want to have it my way, and I'm sick of this, and I want out of this. But you know, if you press on in that direction, you just go deeper into misery. And again, I've seen it many times. We could tell stories. You just see it over the years. People refusing to do what God says and thinking that it's going to get better. They're going to go at this point, and they convince themselves that God's, you know, leading them out. But as you follow them through life, as you run into them years down the road, you find it's just the same thing being repeated over and over again, just different relationships. What's the solution? The solution is letting God change our hearts and coming to that place once again where you cherish, you love, you actually have those loving feelings that are restored. And so that's the idea behind the word cherish, but there's also the idea of caring for and protecting. Security is a very important thing in a marital relationship, and men, the women are very much in need of that sense of security. And there's nothing that will rob them of that sense of security more than a husband who doesn't care, doesn't seem to care, doesn't provide for his wife, doesn't provide for the family, has no commitment to working faithfully to take care of the family. And of course, a woman in a situation like that, she lives in constant anxiety and fear. Of course, women are very much nurturers, and they want a place where they can nurture and take care of children, and you know, they want to have that sense of security. And it's our responsibility. God made the men to be the workers. Not that women can't work on occasions. But yet, generally speaking, God has called us to be the providers. And again, we have seen far too many times where that's not happening. But if it's not happening, again, it's a failure to cherish our wives. And then there's emotional protection. And this goes back to communication, men, but it's along a bit of a different line. But, you know, our wives need to be affirmed by us. You know, that old attitude that's expressed in, hey, I told you I loved you when we first got married, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know, but just, you know, for now, just know it still stands, kind of a thing. It's kind of comical, but it just doesn't work in real life. It doesn't work in real life. You have to affirm your love to your wife. Don't just assume she knows you love her. You have to tell her that. You have to tell her that. Now, my wife, I can say this because I've heard her say this before. She has said publicly, and she's communicated it to me as well, that one of the things that gives her much of the security in our marriage is the fact that I make it a habit to tell her I love her every day. And it's several times a day. And you know, honestly, I don't do it like, okay, I've got to, what do I got to do today? I've got to, I've got to be there. I got an appointment here. I've got to make it over there and do that. And oh, I got to tell my wife I love her. Okay. Cheryl, where are you? I love you. I don't do it like that. I don't do it like that. I find that it naturally flows. I just like to tell her that. And I never even did it with the thought that, okay, I'm going to affirm my wife right now. But here's my point. That's what's happening. I didn't know that. I didn't know she thought it was such a big deal. I just like telling her I love her. Then I hear her teaching and she's saying, oh, Brian tells me he loves me every day. You know, I go, oh, well, I'm doing something right. Good. Okay. But to affirm our love to our wives, to affirm them in their beauty. You know, these things, they just go a million miles. They go a million miles and they bring blessing with them. You know, just to, you know, you're beautiful. And those things, they just give, because again, this is the primary need of the woman, and they give the woman what she needs to really thrive and prosper as a woman and as a wife and as a mother. You know, when women have children, of course, quite often they feel that their bodies have been wrecked and my husband's not going to love me anymore because I didn't lose the weight after the baby was born. You know, all of that crazy kind of stuff that goes through your heads, ladies. It does happen. But they just need to be reminded. They just need to be told. You know, this is really, it's basic, elementary stuff, but it's stuff that we just, a lot of times, we don't do it. And our wives suffer as a result of it, and our marriages will suffer. But you know, another thing that we really need to, I think, be consistent in affirming, we need to affirm and reaffirm over and over again to our wives. We need to reaffirm over and over again our commitment to them. Our commitment. Now, you know, I'm not trying to be Dr. Philip here or anything, but, you know, like I said, I've got a wife. I got three sisters, and I've raised two daughters, so I got a pretty good idea of what goes on in the heads of women. And one of the things that I know is that they get a lot of kooky thoughts. And a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it, honestly, is warfare. The woman is the weaker vessel, as we pointed out, and the enemy attacks. You know, we're going to see as we go into the next chapter of Genesis, who does Satan go after? He goes after Eve. And he still does that. And I know for my wife, I need to reaffirm my commitment to her because she'll get these crazy thoughts in her mind. Like she's old and she's out of shape, and she's no longer attractive, and some young 25-year-old is going to come along, and I'm going to just, you know, be led away after that. And, you know, sometimes she'll be acting really strange, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? And then, you know, through conversation, or maybe sometimes even a little bit of bickering, because you're thinking, what's the matter with you, you know, and well, I just don't know if you love me, and I'm just afraid you're going to leave me for that girl. What girl? That girl that we passed about a half a mile ago when we were walking along the beach. Honey, I didn't really see that girl. I wasn't paying attention. You didn't? She was so pretty. She was so much prettier than I am, you know, and you're just like, oh, help, Lord. See, I told you I'd take advantage of her not being here tonight. But this kind of stuff goes on in the minds of women. And men, we've got to reaffirm our commitment. That's why I was saying earlier, any kind of flirtatious sort of a thing that you might have going, that is a form of emotional and mental abuse, because that tortures a woman. It torments her. And we cannot do those kinds of things. So we have to reaffirm our commitment to them. And then in protecting them emotionally, this is all under the heading, remember, of cherishing them. In protecting them emotionally, we need to cover for their weaknesses. Cover their flaws instead of always needling them and you know, pointing those things out. You know, it's easy to find fault, isn't it? It's easy to be critical. We have to work at being encouraging. And my son gave me a lecture on this today. Dad, you're so discouraging all the time. You know, you just say things that discourage me because I'm telling him to get a job. And I'm telling him to get your lazy bottom off that bed and go out and put in applications. That is so discouraging to me, Dad. You know, that doesn't make me want to do it. You know, he says, you're trying, this is what he said to me today. He goes, you're trying to do it the old way, the way they used to do it back when you were a kid. It doesn't work nowadays. That method doesn't work anymore. We're a different generation. We need encouragement. But, you know, sometimes that's the way we do things. We discourage instead of encourage. And I had to confess after we ate. I think maybe I was just hungry, and you know, you get hungry and you get kind of irritable. And so I told him afterwards, I'm sorry. You know, I do want to be encouraging to you, but you need to get a job. But instead of finding the fault and needling the flaw, you know, we just need to overlook it. Love covers a multitude of sins, and if love covers a multitude of sins, it can cover a lot of other things as well. And you know, we have to. That critical spirit can be so destructive in a relationship. And you know, you learn over time that there are certain things you just have to leave with the Lord. You find that out. You know, you see something in your spouse maybe that you know, that's just not... But you know that if you approach it, if you say something about it, you know it's just going to blow up. You're not going to get anywhere. And so you learn after time, you know, you just, Lord, you know that this issue needs attention. So, Lord, I pray for them. And that is what we need to do as well. But we need to be patient with our wives in regard to their weaknesses. Patience. Spiritual protection. Last thing under cherishing, spiritually protecting our wives, praying for them. Men, do you pray for your wives? Because women are vulnerable as well. You know, of course, we talk a lot about men being tempted and men running off and all of that. And of course, that happens. It happens far too often. But you know, it happens with women as well. And women can be very vulnerable. They can be put in a vulnerable place. If they're in a situation where they're not feeling love, they're not getting the attention, there's the negligence and all of these kinds of things and the emotional abuse and all of that, you know, they're getting set up for some nice guy to come along and woo them away, just like the serpent did Eve. We need to pray for our wives. Pray for them, that God will bless them, that God will build them up, that God will strengthen and encourage them and take those insecurities and fears and things that they have and that he will overcome those by that work of his Spirit. And we need to build them up through the Word as well. We need to build them up through the Word. Now, that doesn't mean that you build yourself a little pulpit and you get a chair and sit your wife in it and you stand behind it and get your Bible and give her a sermon every day on wives submitting to your own husbands as unto the Lord. It means that we just have that encouragement toward them in the Word. Now, I think it's an important thing that couples mutually edify one another with the Word, but that works differently for different couples. So I wouldn't say that there is one particular way that you have to do it, or this is the right way and everybody's got to do it this way. When I was young, I got the impression somewhere, somehow, that, you know, to minister to your wife in the Word meant to give her a Bible study. Every time I tried to give Cheryl a Bible study, we'd end up in an argument. She goes, "That doesn't mean that." "Oh, yes, it does." "No, it doesn't." "I'm going to call my dad and ask him." So you see, that method did not work too well with us. I didn't have anybody to call for support. So, you know, I mean, in some cases that works well. But for us, over the years, what we've discovered, just for us, this works great for us. We both have our own personal devotional times throughout the day. And then at some point in the day, we have an opportunity to share with each other. Sometimes it's on that walk I was talking about. Sometimes it's, you know, just we're sitting around chatting, we're driving somewhere, or, you know, there's just some point during the day where inevitably she will share with me, you know, "I was reading today in Luke and I read this passage and this is what the Lord," and I'll say, "Hey, you know what? And I was reading this." And so it's a mutual edification, but it's relatively informal. It's not, you know, that, okay, open your Bible, sit down, let me teach you sort of a thing. So we have to find what works best for us. But it's important that we do these things. It's important that we pray for them. It's important that we build them up in the Word. And in closing, husbands, we have been given a stewardship over our wives and families. Now, here's what a stewardship is. A steward, we find that term used in the Scripture. A steward was a person who was really the manager of another person's possessions. So the things that the steward had oversight over were not his. They belonged to his master, because a steward generally was a servant. So the steward was accountable to be faithful to his master in overseeing the things that he had committed to him. We as husbands have been given a stewardship over our wives, over our children, over our families. This is what we need to realize. Our wives do not belong to us. They belong to God. Your wife is God's property. And this is the question that we all need to ask ourselves. How are we treating God's property? Your wife is God's child. Are you going to talk to God's child that way? Are you going to push God's child around like that? Are you going to cheat on God's child? You see, again, we have to think this through. We have to think this whole marital relationship back to where it began. It began with God, and the accountability for marriage today is not in the courtrooms of this country or any other country. The accountability with marriage today is still right before the throne of God. And I am certain that God does not look kindly upon those who mistreat and abuse his children. So we've been given a stewardship. God has entrusted these lives under our care. And we have a day coming when we will give an account for our stewardship. And if nothing else motivates us, let that motivate us. If nothing but the fear of God will get you turned around, then so be it. Let the fear of God turn you around. Realize that one day, as Jesus said, this is a heavy thing. Jesus said, every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give account for it in the day of judgment. Now, of course, that's all covered when we come to Christ. But if when we come to Christ and we start behaving like we're not servants of Christ, and as Jesus warned, if like that servant who said, my master's delaying his coming, and he begins to beat the other servants, mistreat them, and so forth, he's going to come, the master's going to come at a day he's not expecting, and he's going to have to give an account at that point. And I want to close tonight on that note. Again, my whole intention of taking this little diversion into marriage was really born out of the sense that this is an area that we need to really rethink, and we need to have fresh understanding and fresh commitment, because it's an area where the body of Christ is in trouble. But it's an area where God is deeply concerned, and it's an area where he wants to do that work of restoration, that work of healing, that work of blessing, so that he can hold forth your relationship to the world, to the people you work with, to the people that you live in the neighborhood with, to people all around you, and say, this is what it's like between me and my people. That's what marriage is, remember. Paul said it at the end of the section here. He said that this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Paul is interweaving these two things together, the marital relationship and the relationship between Christ and the church, because the marital relationship among Christians is to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and his bride.
Now, let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource.
So, Brian, we're highlighting the book by Sam Alberry, Is God Anti-Gay? The subtitle I find intriguing, and other questions about homosexuality, the Bible, and same-sex attraction. Why would this book be good for our readers to pick up?
Well, of course, this is a huge issue in the culture, and people are perplexed about, you know, how do we navigate this? And Sam does a tremendous job navigating it. You know, a lot of people, and even people, you know, who struggle maybe with same-sex attraction, or, of course, people in the gay community, they have this mistaken notion that God is against them. And so Sam Alberry wrote this fantastic little book. He has experience as a same-sex attracted believer, but he's fully committed to living for Christ. Sam is a pastor. He's part of the ministry team for Ravi Zacharias Ministries, and he just has a great, great voice on this topic. I highly recommend anything Sam's written, but this is a good place to start.
And I think, too, especially living in the times that we are and the culture we are, this is a great book to equip any believer to be able to share their faith and to talk with intelligence and love and grace on a very hot topic.
Yep, it's excellent.
And that would be Sam Alberry, Is God Anti-Gay?
Again, this month's resource is a book titled, Is God Anti-Gay? And Other Questions About Homosexuality and Same-Sex Attraction by Sam Alberry. You can order the book, Is God Anti-Gay? By going to our website, brianbroderson.uk. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, Is God Anti-Gay? By Sam Albury, to help you develop a biblical perspective on same-sex attraction. It's our way to say thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Genesis. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.